What's up, my fellow emo, pop punk, metalcore music lovers? Matrix here, and you are locked into the Matrix Music Review Podcast, the only place to get your alt rock music fix. And you are back for part two of our album roundup this week. Obviously, you guys know I covered four albums in that first section, so we're going to cover the rest of them. I got four more to talk about for you guys that we're going to catch up on everything. And if you have any that I missed in that time span, which I'm sure I did, please let me know. Leave it in the comments and let me know if you want a full review on some of these albums. Be happy to do it as we get caught up with everything. So with that, we're jumping right into our album reviews. And the first album we're going to talk about on part two is Heaven and Hell by Sum 41. This is Sum 41's final album. They're going on their final tour. And this is such a bittersweet album to talk about. We talked about the Too Close to Touch album a while back and how that was pretty bittersweet to listen to and talk about, obviously in a different respect. But Sum 41 going away it's a tough one because they are a band that has obviously been around for what seems like forever. And when I get Heaven and Hell and I listen to this 20-track album, it's very easy to fall back into that mindset of, goddamn, these guys are experts at what they do. They put back out almost like a pop punk sounding record. They have a lot of their same sounds coming back. They're hitting that stride that kind of Fall Out Boy is hitting and that Paramore is hitting, where it's almost like they're getting a second wind in their career, and it's bringing them right back to the forefront, and everybody's loving it, and Sum 41's just done. I think, you know, when you listen to some interviews and things like that, it sounds like they were ready. They're ready to be done. It's not like they are, you know, they're breaking up or anything like that. It's just that it's time, and, you know, I gotta respect the band for kind of going out on their own terms and doing it their way. It's definitely something that, you know, I like to see, and not just see a band kind of disband and say, "Up, we're done," and, you know, we hate each other kind of thing. So definitely a bittersweet time listening to this album, but it is still such a good time to listen to this album. Even though it's bittersweet with Sum 41 ending, I had a blast with Heaven and Hell because you get a song like Time Won't Wait, and that just sounds like an absolute smash waiting to happen. It sounds like you could throw it on the radio and it would start blowing up charts just like they did back in, you know, 2003, 2004. And Time Won't Wait is one of those tracks that, again, kind of just gives you those summertime Warped Tour vibes, which are sprinkled all throughout this record and all throughout, obviously, Sum 41's career. But what else is interesting about Sum 41 is while they obviously have evolved in their sound, I've always kind of felt that Sum 41 has almost had a little bit more of a skate punk sound to them as well. I think that Sum 41 always was just seen as kind of like this coming of age band, because In Too Deep was always in like the American Pie movies or things like that, however you want to look at it. But they've always had this like skate punk edgy sound to them as well, like in a song like Future Primitive. And that track has a really sick guitar rip, like midway through, like a little bit of a solo and a little bit of a rip. I don't have the timestamp on it, but midway through that track has one of those guitar rips that, again, shows off Sum 41's chops as musicians as well. And then it goes into a track called Dopamine. And if you told me that Dopamine was written by Blink-182, I don't think I would bat an eye. It sounds exactly like something we would be hearing from Blink right now. I think if Blink recorded it, it would sound just as good, if not better, than what Sum 41 did here. But my point with that, talking about Dopamine and Blink-182 sound or vibes or whatever, is that it's just kind of reinforcing this golden age of punk music being alive and well, with all these bands coming back and all these bands putting out this music that really just reminds everybody of all those good times. I think it's easy to say that we are officially back all the way. There is no question of, are we there yet? You know, are we fully back? Is everybody going to be back? No, we're all the way back, and pop punk, metalcore, emo, punk music is here to fucking stay. And nobody's going to mess with that anymore. I don't think anybody's worried about, you know, pissing anybody off anymore. And they're just going to do what they want to do, because clearly we're not getting airplay on the radio. Nobody's really worried about the radio or the mainstream success anymore. They're just making what they want to make and letting it happen. Whatever happens, happens. And the community that was built all those years ago is still there for them, and it's still growing. I go to shows all the time, and I still see people younger than me getting into it. I hear people younger than me talking about these types of bands. So I know that the interest is still there, and that's what really makes it fun. And also makes it hard with an album like this to see one of the stalwarts saying, you know what, it's time for us to pass it on to the next generation. But still, that's kind of my whole point with talking about, you know, oh, it sounds like this or it sounds like that, is that the golden age of punk really set us up to have this little renaissance here and let us know that it's here to stay and everybody should be on notice and enjoying it while it's here. I think one of the things with this album is it's kind of billed as a double album, you know, heaven times hell or however they want to say it. I think it's kind of hard at times to tell where that transition is. I'm going to say that it's probably at Rise Up. It's kind of after that instrumental at the end. And then when you blast into Rise Up, I think that's kind of the next step. And Rise Up becomes the first track on the hell portion of the album. And Stronger in These Times is a track that's on that hell version. And it's got one of the funniest lines that I've heard all year. And it says, I'm bored of these imbecilic morons. That is so clever and so different, because obviously we don't hear imbecilic morons anywhere. So Sum 41 really just had to be that creative one last time and give us a way of saying, you're really stupid and I'm so sick of stupid people, by saying I'm bored of imbecilic morons. Love that. You get a really cool cover of Paint It Black on this hell version. And then you get probably the most brutally honest last track that a band will ever record. And this final track on this album is all about questioning the end, whether that's the end of the band, the end of a relationship, whatever it may be. You're really questioning if it's right, if you're doing it right. You're kind of fearful of what you're doing and if you're doing the right thing. You're very nostalgic about it, thinking about all the good times that you've had and all the good things that have come out of it. But you also know that regardless of how you feel about it, or regardless about how anybody else felt about it, that you gave your all. And I think that really is just the story of Sum 41, is that they never cared what anybody said. They never cared what anybody thought. They were just going to be whoever they were. They were going to experiment however they were going to experiment. And that's why they lasted as long as they did, and why they were as successful as they were and as successful as they are. I mean, they're going on this final tour and these dates are getting sold out. They got people showing up left and right trying to get to these shows to see a band like this. And that just goes to show that the fans still love what Sum 41's doing, and there's still so much respect for what they've done for this scene in general that nobody would want to miss this. I'm definitely already got my tickets booked to go see this show, actually coming up here in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited to come back and tell you all what I think about it and what I'm going to see at this show. So ending of this album, I'm going to give this an 8.6 out of 10. The end of Sum 41, very, very bittersweet. But the Heaven and Hell album is very strong. If you haven't heard it yet, go check it out. The next album up is Transience by Venues. This is Venues' third album, and this is very much a melodic core album. That's the way I'm referring to this, because it has such a great sound where you get screams in there, which these screams aren't necessarily your standard screams. They have a little bit more of a gritty, gravelly sound to them, which I think sets them apart and makes them very unique. And then it blasts into just a beautiful melodic sound as well. So they kind of flow together very well in this third album. And I usually don't talk about this, but the album artwork on this album was awesome. It was definitely something that drew my attention right away, and I was kind of captured to listen to the album, even though it was already on my list. It was one that I kind of put up to the front because the album artwork brought me in that much. So very interesting piece that usually I don't include in reviews, but had to do it for this one. A song like Braille stood out to me right away for this Venues album. And I think it's because it kind of captures everything that makes this band not only intriguing, but also very solid. It's got the screams, it's got the melodies in there, and it flows into a song like Reflections, which is a song that really has this religious feel about it. It's very easy to see the faith aspect in a song like this because they're guided by the light and looking to fill a void, and I need to see and feel you, and all these different things that definitely can be construed in a religious or a faith-based manner. And then they also have a very good addiction track and cravings and how you need to feed those cravings and all these different things that we've all come to associate with addiction. I feel like that is definitely something that I've seen a little bit more frequently, is bands being open to talking about addiction or having tracks about addiction on there. And, you know, I think that's where my review of this Venues album stops. Overall, it's a really fine album. It's a lot of fun to listen to. I had a great time with it, and I'm going to give it an 8.1 out of 10. It's definitely one that you should check out if you haven't yet. So if you haven't, go check out Transients by Venues. The next album up is the self-titled Heartbent album from Heartbent. They classify themselves as emo post-hardcore, and I couldn't agree more. I think that is definitely spot on for their sound. The first track has such a back and forth with the vocals where you get the screams and you get some more of the melodies or the singing types. And that really sets that tone, and it sets you up to be kind of ready for anything throughout this album, whether it's going to be a track where you just get melodies or a melodic singing type, or if you get a track where it is a little bit heavier, where you're, you know, 90% screams and only a little bit of singing. I think that by doing that in a first track, you kind of set the listener up to be able to kind of not know what to expect, but also be ready for everything. Agony was probably my favorite track right away when I listened to this, where we get lines like, there's a taste of temptation calling my name. And this album has absolutely unbelievable guitar rips and solos in them. On Agony, it hits at about 240, I think, is where it hits, right around there. You'll know it when you hear it because it's absolutely insane to hear just this person rip into this guitar solo. And I can only imagine the scene when they do this live and when this band does these types of rips live, that it's got to be something that has everybody going nuts. And it also is an album where there's some artistic creativity on display as well. I talked about this last year with the Friend Circle album, where sometimes we get these instrumental tracks in albums and people disregard it, right? Like, people disregard an intro that's just, you know, 40 to 50 seconds of an instrumental and it's named something, but they don't pay any attention to it. And I talked about that with Friend Circle because they're opening, and then they have one kind of at the midway point as well, where they just kind of set the stage for the next part of the album. And I feel like that happened here on this Heartbent album, where we got FF2L, which was really kind of at the midpoint of the album and kind of sets us up for what that second half is going to be by just giving us some instrumental and some sound to kind of take us out of that first half and push us into that second half. And I said that Agony was my favorite track upon first listen. That was until I got to Sanctuary. Sanctuary is what I call a holy shit track. It's one of those that stops you right away and you're just like, shit, that's kind of mind-blowing. That is stop you in your tracks good. And it's kind of all about this hiding behind lies and hiding behind the sanctuary of these lies. And again, there's another huge guitar showcase around that 2:30 mark. And at this point, you know, I've heard the first one, I've heard a couple more things. At this point, you're just showing off. You're just showing off how talented you are. And it's impressive. And I love it. I love when bands allow musicians to show off and really showcase the talent, because this is where people like myself really fall in love with bands or with songs, where obviously, you know, you can connect to the lyrics or you can connect with the music, but to have something that stands out this, you know, at this level is something that continuously makes me go back and be like, all right, I'm going back to Sanctuary. I can't wait to hear that solo, or I can't wait to hear that singer hit that note. That's what makes people fall in love, when you have something this specific that stands out. And Heartbent did it at least twice, if not more, in terms of the musical side of, you know, guitar solos or whatever it was, or whatever it may be for another band. This is a shorter album. I think it's one that was, again, very tight. It was one that definitely stood out for me. I'm only highlighting those two tracks because this is a band that I really want everybody to go check out, and I think me talking about it isn't going to do it much justice. This album is going to get an 8.9 out of 10 for me. I had so much fun with it. It is one that I've gone back to consistently since it came out, and I think you guys are all going to love it. If you haven't heard it yet, go check out Heartbent by Heartbent. Last album I'm going to talk about is the new EP from Between You and Me called Shit Yeah. Has a really nice knuckle puck collaboration to start it off called Kill My Vibe. And one of the things that I wanted to mention before I get a little bit further into this review is that this is their first self-released EP/album since they put out Armageddon. And I think it kind of shows, you know, not that any of their previous stuff was bad, but this definitely feels like them. It feels like they are saying what they want to say and doing what they want to do musically. And Between You and Me is just a fun band. They have a fun sound, and it's hard not to like what they do. It's kind of like The Haunt in that sense, but I think Between You and Me definitely has a little bit more of a wit about them. It's just more of what their style is. Out of the new tracks on this EP that we haven't really heard yet, I think Every Morning is probably my favorite, but I think what stands out is that those singles that we got In the Middle and Nevermind are still such absolute smashes that it almost overpowers this EP with how good they are in comparison to some of the other tracks on here. Again, that's not me saying that these other tracks aren't good. It's just that because these two in particular are so strong, I feel like it kind of overpowers the rest of this EP, which is kind of funny in a sense, because those two tracks were ones that when I heard it live, everybody went nuts for. So there's not much here to talk about with this EP. Obviously, we've gotten a few of these tracks already. I've talked about them before on the pod, so I'm not going to mention them again. It's a 4.2 out of 5 for me for Between You and Me. The new EP, Shit Yeah, go check it out if you haven't heard it yet. That wraps it up for album reviews, but I just want to talk about two more singles that stood out to me in March. Panic by Roderick was one that definitely stood out and was one that was a band that I really wasn't expecting to connect much with, but then Panic came out and I definitely jumped right on it. But my favorite track of March, I think, is Nothing Left to Save by Straitjacket Feeling. Might be a band that you haven't heard of yet. That new track's going to be at the very tip top of the playlist when it gets released this week. It has such an edge to it. The sound is great. The album artwork pulls you in. It's one of those songs that has such an edge to it, like it can even be a workout song if you're lifting, in constant rotation since it came out. That wraps up our album roundup. I hope y'all enjoyed. It was definitely long overdue. Not going to be that long again, I promise. I got another one coming out very early next week where we're going to talk about Imminence, Fluorescence, Letters Sent Home, and a few others. Last week was just absolutely nuts in terms of new releases, and I'm excited to start talking about those. Those were a lot of fun to listen to. I'm excited to sit down and start writing the script for that podcast. So in the meantime, head on over to Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok and follow us at Matrix Music Review. Instagram's where I stay most active on a day-to-day basis, posting things and doing our Friday repeater deletes so that everybody can feel like they're telling me what should go on the podcast and what should go on the playlist and what shouldn't go on the playlist, as well as keep it up to date on any of the new shows that are announced. It has been an explosion lately in terms of new shows. I feel like every other day I'm announcing something new. This week we've already had Under Oath. We've had a 20-year from Hawthorne Heights. I mean, it's just crazy what kind of shows we're getting lately. Head on over to Spotify and like and favorite the playlist so that you can stay up to date on all the new tracks that I am listening to. I add on tracks almost every week, which are some have been included on the podcast and some I haven't talked about at all. So you'll get to keep up with some of the newer stuff that I'm listening to and that I've enjoyed recently. And make sure that if you are listening on Apple Music or Spotify that you leave 5 stars, leave me a review, let me know how I'm doing. If you want me to talk about any new artists, albums, whatever it may be, let me know that in the comment section as well. And while you're at it, send this podcast over to a friend, family, coworker, whoever it is in your life that may be looking for a new podcast or like alternative music, send this podcast their way. Let's continue to grow our little community of music lovers and alt rock music lovers here at Matrix Music Review. With that wraps it up, and I will see you guys next time with more reviews.